Okay, so today we are jumping into a deep dive that's it promises something pretty significant. We're not just looking at, a few small tweaks to your communication style.
No, not at all. This is a complete overhaul.
A full transformation of your, what the material calls, your speaking identity. Our mission today is to give you a really comprehensive, a blow-by-blow overview of this specific methodology, the PRO90 speech system.
And this is a system, it was developed by Michael Williams, and it really targets people who have, significant challenges with communication.
So we're talking about things like stuttering, stammering, or even just that intense fear of public speaking.
Right, or high performance anxiety. And the goal isn't just to, lessen those challenges. It's to move the speaker completely to a different state.
A state of being.
Yeah.
What? Smooth, clear.
Smooth, clear, calm, and fundamentally confident. It's a complete 360-degree approach that is really aiming to change who you believe yourself to be as a communicator.
And the sources we've pulled for this, they come directly from the sister's own instructional materials. So they lay out the full philosophy, the daily routines, all the specific techniques. And here's the initial really powerful insight that I think frames this whole deep dive for you. Speaking is treated not as some kind of inherent talent, something you're born with.
Right, or a fragile state you can fall out of.
Exactly. It's treated as a completely learnable skill and a formable habit. The whole idea is that the struggle isn't some fundamental flaw in you. It's just a set of learned, highly reinforced behaviors.
And this methodology provides that scientific step-by-step process to acquire a totally new and what they call a superior set of skills and habits.
That reframing is, it's just paramount, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. If you start treating speaking as a skill, like playing the piano or learning French, then the whole challenge changes. It becomes about consistent practice and, well, neurobiological change, not about some innate ability you do or don't have.
And that takes us right into the foundational philosophy, the role the brain plays in all this.
So the primary hurdle for anyone who's trying to transform their speech, especially if they've struggled for years, is overcoming what the system calls the speaking identity.
Okay, I've heard the term identity a lot in self-help circles, but how does identity play such a mechanical role in the actual act of speaking? Shouldn't we be focused on, the tongue, the breath?
Because identity is the master switch. Your speaking identity is defined as how you fundamentally see yourself. It's who you believe you are as a communicator. So if you've spent 10, 20, maybe 30 years internalizing fear or, anticipating getting stuck, feeling that wave of anxiety every time a meeting is about to start,
Those patterns just become your go-to.
they become your habitual way of thinking and speaking. Your brain doesn't just passively record those negative experiences. It processes them, it holds on to those memories, and it uses them as predictive models for your future
No,
performance.
if I walk into a high-stakes meeting, my internal self-talk, my identity, is already pulling up all the data from previous failures. It's basically priming me for anxiety before I even open my mouth.
That's it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's rooted in these really established neural pathways.
A vicious cycle.
Exactly. And so the goal of the PRO90 system isn't just to mask the physical symptoms, it's to make those negative memories functionally obsolete. The whole mission is to override that old identity by consistently creating a new one.
A successful, positive, constructive one, what the sources call the ideal picture.
Right. You are systematically replacing old, ineffective, fear-based memories with thousands and thousands of new successful ones.
That sounds like a monumental task, though. I mean, fighting decades of these entrenched habits. What's the fundamental biological mechanism that the system says allows for this kind of, well, a complete psychological and behavioral rewrite?
The mechanism is neuroplasticity. It's the brain's amazing, incredible ability to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections.
Okay.
So your current undesirable patterns, whether it's a speech block or habitually avoiding certain words or using too many filler words, they are maintained by incredibly strong neural connections.
This is the whole neurons that fire together, wire together principle.
That is the foundational principle of all learning. Every single time you use the old thought or the old behavior is executed, those existing connections just get stronger. It just deepens the rut you're trying to climb out of.
So if I get stuck on a word and then I immediately beat myself up internally for it, I'm actually strengthening two pathways at once, the pathway for getting stuck and the pathway for negative self-talk.
Precisely. You're creating a vicious reinforcement loop. And so the system's approach has to be, well, it's simple in its logic, but it has to be absolute in its execution.
You have to build a completely new neural network.
You have to. Mm. And you do that through consistent, intentional repetition of the new behaviors and the new thought patterns. You're practicing things like speaking more slowly, articulating clearly, focusing on your airflow. And as you repeat this new skill, the brain starts to divert energy to those new positive pathways. Mm. It prioritizes them over the old inefficient ones.
And we mentioned there's a physical side to this neurological effort, right? This process of strengthening the new path.
Yes, and this is where the concept of myelination becomes so critical. As these new neural connections fire consistently and accurately, so as you practice the new skill the right way, again and again, the brain starts to wrap those neurons in a fatty tissue called myelin.
Okay, so what is myelin? Like insulation?
Think of it exactly like that. It's like the high-grade rubber insulation you'd find around a brand new electrical wire.
And that insulation has to have a functional purpose. It's not just for protection.
Oh, it's crucial. Myelin makes the signal transfer between those neurons much faster, much stronger, and significantly more efficient. The ultimate result of all this myelination is automatization.
So the new skill, the smooth, confident speaking, It moves from being this laborious, conscious thing you have to focus on.
Oh, you're thinking about every single word.
Right, to being completely automatic and natural, requiring almost no conscious thought.
It becomes your new default, your effortless way of communicating, like, riding a bike or driving a route you've driven 1,000 times.
But the source material is very clear that the beginning of this transition is incredibly draining. Why is that initial effort so physically exhausting?
Because your brain is literally building new structures while at the same time trying to suppress the old ones. Initially, the brain needs way more energy. It burns through more glucose to process all this new activity.
It sounds like installing a brand new complex operating system on a computer while the old buggy one is still sputtering in the background.
That's a perfect analogy. And that intense concentration, that cognitive load, can lead to some serious mental and physical exhaustion. At least until that myelination process really takes hold and the new pattern requires far less conscious effort. And that physiological reality is why the system stresses persistence so heavily.
It's fascinating. The success of the system relies on these physical changes in the brain. But those changes have to be driven by a deep psychological commitment. So let's explore the three core mindset principles that support this whole undertaking.
Right. These principles are designed to provide the necessary psychological fuel for the journey. The first is the law of belief.
Okay.
This states that whatever you believe with passion and emotion can happen, within reason, of course. Mm-hmm. The power of belief is really evident in things like the placebo effect.
Sure.
I mean, if you genuinely believe a sugar pill will cure your headache, it often does. That deep-seated hope and faith actually causes your entire biological system to rev up for that transformation.
So if you don't fully believe you can become that confident speaker, your brain just won't commit the necessary resources. It won't commit the glucose and the effort to build those new neural networks.
Exactly. Why would it?
But I can imagine a listener who has struggled for years might be, highly skeptical. Isn't relying so much on belief a bit dangerous if the neurological wiring hasn't caught up yet? How does the system handle that fear that belief alone just isn't enough?
That's a great point, a crucial one. The system isn't suggesting you only believe. It's suggesting that belief is the catalyst for the effort. The conviction is what fuels the energy you need to do the work.
Okay, so belief gets you started.
It gets you started and it keeps you going.
Yeah.
And that conviction is supported by the second principle, the law of control. The system emphasizes that control is the direct inverse of anxiety. When you gain control over aspects of your life, and especially control over your speech, like learning to slow down or manage your breath,
your confidence goes up.
Immediately. Your self-esteem and confidence increase because you are demonstrating to yourself, through direct action, that you are no longer a victim of your old speech patterns.
You're taking back that control. It transforms the self-concept from struggler to manager. And that brings us to the final one, the law of accumulation, which speaks directly to that need for relentless daily practice.
Yes. The law of accumulation basically holds that everything you do every single day counts. Every positive thought, every 5-minute practice session, every successful conversation you have.
It's all moving you either toward or away from your goal. You're never really standing still.
Never static. And this law is fundamental because it explains why progress often feels so agonizingly slow at the beginning.
You're talking about the acceleration curve here, right?
Yes. Success is achieved when all those accumulated efforts finally reach a tipping point. The concept they often cite is the 80-20 rule applied to time. 80% of the massive visible results often show up only in the last 20% of the total effort.
So if you visualize it, it's this long, slow, almost flat line of effort, and then a sharp upward spike at the end.
Exactly. And the really hard part is trusting the process during that long, flat period at the start.
That initial period must be such an immense psychological challenge. We expect linear returns, but here you have to just trust that these small daily reps are quietly building myelin and accumulating evidence, even if you don't see massive returns for weeks or even months.
It's exactly like compounding interest. You don't feel rich after the first year of saving, but that continuous daily input is absolutely essential for that eventual explosion of success.
Okay, so we've got the foundational science, we have the mindset in place. Now we can shift to the how of it all, the application. The system outlines three specific pillars that are required to accelerate results and make those neurological changes happen faster.
And these three components are designed specifically to overcome the most common pitfalls of commitment and consistency that, frankly, derail most attempts at forming a new habit.
The first pillar is all about setting realistic expectations. Why is managing expectations so critical, especially when the goal is this profound transformation?
Because unrealistic expectations are cited as the number one reason people quit. It's that simple.
So if a learner believes they should be, 100% fluent after 2 weeks, and they have a normal slip up,
they get discouraged. They lose faith in the law of belief, and then they start bouncing between different methods.
The method hopping cycle.
Right. Start, stop, try something new, stop again. It's the fastest way to slow your progress because you never give the brain enough consistent time to myelinate the new pathway. Success, therefore, requires a real commitment to sticking with the systematic process and understanding that this just takes time. You have to focus on the process today, not the ultimate result 3 months from now.
Which brings us directly to the necessity of the second pillar. Follow the daily blueprint. If consistency is the fuel for neuroplasticity, then the blueprint is the engine.
Exactly. Consistency is absolutely mandatory to develop new habits, new patterns, new skills. The daily blueprint is a fixed, structured routine, a set of practices the learner has to plug into every single day. By just sticking to that routine, the necessary repetition happens automatically. And that's what strengthens the new neural pathways and drives the myelination we've been talking about.
It removes the daily struggle of deciding what to practice.
It does. It takes the guesswork out of it.
And the third pillar insists that you must immediately apply learning in real life. This is where the rubber meets the road, and I imagine where the psychological resistance is the highest.
It's the moment of truth. If you avoid real-life speaking situations, you prevent mastery under pressure. Private practice, you know, in a safe, controlled environment, is only half of the equation.
So the only way to train your nervous system to handle those high-stakes moments, a presentation, a networking event, an important phone call,
is to actively implement the skills in that stressful moment. Application is the crucial step that internalizes the skills and prominently boosts your confidence. You have to willingly seek out pressure situations to train yourself to perform well under duress.
That continuous real-world application leads us right to the core concept of this section, the immersion imperative. How is immersion actually defined within this system?
Immersion means you reach a point where you are constantly surrounding yourself with the process. You're actively trying to override the old way of thinking and speaking that may have dominated your identity for decades.
This isn't passive learning.
Not at all. This is an active flooding of both your mind and your experiences.
Okay, so how does someone actually execute that flooding?
Well, flooding the mind involves deliberate input, listening to audio of your model speaker, doing verbalization practice, visualization, constantly feeding your brain constructive information. But flooding your experience is arguably even more important.
And that means?
It means practicing the new style every single time you speak, whether it's a formal presentation or just ordering a coffee. The system is crystal clear on this. If your consistency is lacking, if you allow the old, comfortable patterns to creep back in during safe conversations with family or friends,
then the brain won't build and strengthen the new connections enough.
Right. And as soon as you hit a higher pressure situation, that new style just won't have the dominance it needs to override the old fear.
That's a pretty harsh psychological requirement. You have to be willing to give up the comfort of those safe zones to make sure the new style becomes dominant.
It's mandatory. If you turn the new style off even for a few hours, those old neural networks get a chance to reassert themselves. The system warns that without this level of immersion, your speech will just remain frustratingly up and down for years because your brain is constantly trying to switch between two competing operating systems.
Okay, so immersion requires a massive time commitment. And since most people are incredibly busy, the system offers two strategic practice techniques to accumulate this time effectively. Let's start with a mini habit strategy.
This is such a powerful tactic for overcoming inertia. Instead of aiming for some overwhelming 45-minute practice session, you start with steps that are so small, so basic, that they are literally impossible to skip.
And the rationale is just to build the habit pattern first.
Exactly. You ensure daily compliance before you start demanding high effort.
Can you give us a granular example of how someone would integrate this into their morning routine?
Sure. A mini habit might be performing one single 7777 breath exercise before you brush your teeth, or practicing 1 minute of modeling immediately after you pour your first cup of coffee. By anchoring these tiny sub-1-minute habits to something you always do, like using the bathroom or checking your phone, you eliminate the mental resistance to starting.
Yeah, always have permission to do more if you feel like it.
Right, but the minimum required effort is so small, it guarantees the habit sticks. It ensures that streak of consistency remains unbroken.
That leverages existing behavior patterns, which is just genius for habit formation. The second technique, using transitional time, is all about accumulating the necessary hours without feeling overwhelmed by having to block out these long stretches of time.
Transitional time is called the most effective way to accumulate practice time because it transforms dead time into productive time. It refers to all those in-between moments.
Like driving, walking the dog, standing in line at the grocery store.
Waiting between meetings, even exercising. This strategy allows you to accumulate significant practice time. For example, 3 15-minute drives plus a 5-minute walk is 50 minutes, without the mental burden of trying to carve out a massive, dedicated block from your day.
And the benefit goes beyond just the sheer volume of practice. It's about maintaining that cognitive momentum we talked about.
Absolutely. Practicing during transitional time keeps the modeling style, the new thought patterns, and the specific proactive speaking skills at the forefront of your mind.
So if you practice blending and extending during your 15-minute commute, and then you immediately walk into a meeting,
you're far more likely to remember to relax, to slow down, and to use your style during the actual interaction. It ensures the new skill is integrated into your working memory rather than, you know, sitting in some compartment of your brain that you only access during your formal practice sessions.
Okay, so with that commitment to consistent, immersive practice established, the system provides a detailed daily blueprint. We can now break down three of the most crucial mental and physiological routines in that blueprint.
Right.
Let's start with affirmations and verbalization practice. This is the tool for actively reshaping that identity. How exactly does this fit into the neuroplasticity model?
This is how you proactively flood your mind with constructive information. You're substituting those destructive, anticipatory, negative thoughts that usually trigger performance anxiety. The goal is to create positive mental momentum immediately upon waking up.
So what's the recommendation?
Select three targeted affirmations and perform them first thing in the morning, anchoring them to an existing habit. You do this using repetition 50 reps of each affirmation, or just repeating them with emotional intensity for 5 to 10 minutes.
So you're not just passively thinking, I am a confident speaker. You are verbally and passionately declaring it. You're trying to impose a new identity onto your subconscious.
Precisely. You are firing those new neural pathways for confidence. And beyond standard affirmations, the technique of verbalization is incredibly powerful. This involves speaking a desired future event, like a successful presentation or a calm phone call into existence.
And you can use the present tense for that.
You can, but the system actually recommends using the past tense for maximum psychological impact.
The past tense? That seems counterintuitive if you're talking about the future.
It does, but when you verbalize a future event as if it has already happened successfully. For example, I had a presentation yesterday and it went extremely well. I remember feeling relaxed, breathing deeply. Your brain tries to retrieve this memory.
Ah, so it sees, oh, we've already had this successful experience.
Right, and it anticipates the actual event is likely to happen the same way. This reduces that anticipatory anxiety and helps the brain become more efficient in executing the behavior. What's more, you can also use this technique to intentionally reframe negative past events as successes, literally rewriting the emotional memory in your mind, which then determines your future behavioral patterns.
That is a powerful psychological tool. You're actively giving your brain evidence of success before the event even happens. Okay, next up is the core physical tool, the 777 breathing exercise.
This exercise is foundational because it serves a dual critical purpose. It provides greater breath control, which is essential for smooth speech, and it acts as an immediate physiological relaxer. The procedure is very specific.
Walk us through it.
You inhale slowly through the nose for a count of seven. You hold the breath for a count of seven, and then you exhale slowly through the mouth for a count of seven.
For someone with choppy or quick speech, this sounds like a massive discipline effort. What's the key to mastering the exercise?
The control aspect is paramount. A lot of people find they run out of air before they reach the full count of seven on the exhale. If you can't maintain that slow, controlled rate, it means you lack control over your respiratory muscles.
And mastering that builds better breath capacity.
And control, which directly translates into the ability to maintain the continuous airflow you need for smooth speech. You know, excellent communicators often take deeper, quieter, nose-based breaths to maintain energy, oxygenate the brain for clearer thinking, and just achieve overall poise.
And the relaxation benefit is immediate, right?
It is an immediate vagus nerve activator. It acts like a physiological circuit breaker for anxiety. You can use it proactively, 5 to 7 reps, right before a high-stakes meeting or a phone call, or just sprinkle it throughout the day using that mini-habit strategy. The recommendation is to start small, maybe one repetition a day, and build up to the point where it becomes your automatic physiologic response to stress.
Finally, let's talk about the mental equivalent of physical practice, the mental rehearsal process.
Mental rehearsal, or visualization, is so potent because neuroscience confirms that when you mentally rehearse an action, the same sensory and motor areas in the brain that would activate during the real performance are firing.
So your brain gets successful reps without you moving a muscle.
That's it. And the system recommends a 5-step structure to make this visualization really effective. Step one is relaxation. You have to begin by getting quiet and doing 5 to 7 of those 777 breathing exercises to calm your nervous system.
Step two, imagine the environment. This is where you engage as many senses as possible, sight, sound, feel, smell, to make the visualization vivid and real. You have to anchor the successful experience to a specific realistic location.
Right. If it's a job interview, what does the conference table look like? How does the chair feel? The more sensory engagement you have, the more real the event feels to your brain.
Okay, then step three is visualize as a third person.
So you first see yourself, the speaker, succeeding from the audience's perspective. It's like you're watching a confident actor or athlete on a screen. This gives you an objective view of success, seeing the confidence projected outward.
And then step four, visualize as a first person.
Then you shift perspective to experience the successful event from within. You have to internalize the success, feeling the calm, hearing your own smooth, articulate voice, feeling the audience's engagement, and really feeling that success in your body. This is what integrates the new identity emotionally.
And the final step.
Step five, reemerge. You conclude by doing another 5 to 7 breathing exercises to gently return to reality. This repeated, structured, successful mental experience reinforces the new speaking identity and drives automatization before you ever step foot into the real situation.
Okay, we've covered the foundational science and the daily routines. Now let's turn to the active psychological management system, the TRIAC method. This provides the tools to manage that inevitable resistance and negativity that pops up during the habit formation process. Let's start with T-Talk to your IT department.
Your internal talk department. That's right. The IT department refers to your internal talk, that constant, relentless stream of self-dialogue. For anyone transforming a habit, mistakes are inevitable, but the default tendency is to respond destructively.
Things like, I messed up again, or I knew this wasn't going to work.
Exactly. And the system requires you to actively replace that destructive self-dialogue with a constructive one.
So how do you actually do that? How do you stop that negative self-talk train the moment a slip-up happens and replace it with something productive?
You need to schedule regular constructive meetings with your IT department. So let's say you get stuck trying to say a complex word during a client phone call. Instead of the typical downward spiral, the constructive dialogue is structured.
Okay, what's the structure?
First, you acknowledge the slip-up neutrally. Okay, I stumbled that time. Second, you constructively evaluate what could have been done better. I skipped my breath. I should have slowed down or paused before that word.
And third?
Third, you affirm the process and the identity. That's okay. I'm learning a new operating system. This is supposed to be hard, and failure is part of the training. I'll use my technique next time. This structured approach prevents the negative thought spiral and keeps your focus firmly on forward movement and accumulation.
That focus on accumulation is key, which brings us to our remember your speaking successes. Why is tracking successes so vital, even the small ones, when our brains are so good at highlighting failures?
Because the human brain has an inherent negative bias. We just focus disproportionately on the times we felt stuck or anxious. So journaling your successes daily, no matter how minute, is the specific countermeasure to this bias.
So if you used to struggle through an entire meeting, but today you spoke smoothly for the first 2 minutes, that's a verifiable success. You have to track it.
You have to. If you used your airflow linking technique correctly just once, that's a success.
So the journaling creates a tangible record, an accumulation of evidence that the law of accumulation is actually working.
Precisely. When doubt inevitably strikes and you start feeling discouraged, you can scan back through your journal and realize you've accumulated dozens of successes that week. This record actively surprises you with how much you've improved, and it provides tangible evidence that supports the new speaking identity, reinforces belief, and creates the motivation to seek out more successful experiences.
Which is a perfect segue to A and track.
Yep.
Accumulate new speaking experiences. This pillar mandates leaving the practice room and engaging with the real world.
You must accumulate new speaking successes by accumulating new speaking experiences under real-world pressure. Private practice alone is just not sufficient to build the robust neural network you need for automatization under stress.
And the key here is being intensely proactive.
Right. You cannot wait for opportunities to speak. You have to create them.
How does creating proactive opportunities build confidence differently than just, you know, reacting to them when they come up?
Well, initiating speaking opportunities, whether it's volunteering to lead a team status update, picking up the phone to make a call you might otherwise email, or introducing yourself first in a social setting, that immediately puts you in control.
Ah.
When you initiate the communication, you control the timing, the structure, the topic, the manner of speaking. And this shift from reactive anticipation, worrying about being called on, to proactive control, choosing when and how you speak, inherently diminishes anxiety and boosts confidence.
The sources had a great example of this.
Yeah, the one about the client who started proactively telling the cashier their payment method. It will be credit, thank you, before the cashier could even ask.
Yeah.
That tiny controlled action trained the brain to associate speaking with control, not with fear.
That shift from a defensive posture to an offensive one seems fundamental to changing the self-concept. Okay, next is C. Control the train you're on. This addresses the ongoing mental management of worry.
This is a structured three-step approach to derailing those harmful self-talk trains of thinking, those habitual patterns of worry that just loop in your mind. Step one is awareness. You first have to become highly conscious of the train you are on. Recognize the content of the negative thought, like, I'm going to get stuck when I have to say that person's name, its frequency and its intensity, the physical feeling of anxiety it generates. You can't stop what you don't acknowledge.
Step two, stop. Once you recognize that the thought train is taking you in a destructive direction, you have to interrupt it. This is a cognitive circuit breaker. You literally say, stop internally, or even whisper it to interrupt the momentum of that negative thought pattern. You just break the automatic loop.
And step three is replace. This is the most crucial step. You substitute the negative thought with constructive preparation. So instead of worrying about failing, you proactively focus on positive anticipation.
Like, how can I contribute value to this audience? Or how can I make sure I use my slow pace and my articulation skills?
Exactly. You actively push out the worry by replacing it with a cognitive task planning, breathing, preparation. You're accumulating positive mental rehearsal experiences instead of negative anticipation.
And the power here is that this repetition strengthens that replacement pathway, eventually making the constructive thought the automatic response.
That is the entire neuroplastic goal. It's a process that requires daily accountability, but consistency eventually hardwires the brain to automatically anticipate positively and constructively instead of spiraling into negativity.
And finally, the K in track. No, it's just a matter of time and effort.
This is the core belief required for perseverance, especially through that acceleration curve we talked about earlier. It is the confidence, the faith, and the scientific belief that the system is based on predictable, verifiable principles of neuroscience, learning acquisition, and habit formation. If you continue to apply the systematic effort detailed in the blueprint, the desired results, the automatization of your new identity, are inevitable because your brain is designed to adapt to consistent input.
It really reinforces this empowering idea that you can't really fix the old, fearful way of speaking. Instead, you systematically create a new, better, and more dominant way by changing fundamental things like your inflection, your pitch, and your breathing. Okay, now we move into the actual physical and verbal tools that make up the new speaking style you're building. The system identifies modeling as the fastest transformative tool. For a listener, why is observational learning so powerful here, beyond just, you know, copying someone else?
Modeling is defined as not just imitating the voice, but mimicking the voice, posture, body language, rhythm, inflection, and the overall mindset of a successful speaker. The power lies in drastically accelerated learning. When you combine hearing, seeing, saying, and doing, which modeling requires, you engage multiple sensory and motor functions. And that combination, according to learning studies, can dramatically increase retention and the strength of the new neurological pathway.
So what's happening psychologically when you're modeling someone else's performance?
You are temporarily allowed to borrow the confidence and the speaking style of your model. You're effectively bypassing your old negative identity. Your brain starts to mimic the successful output.
The sources had a really powerful anecdote about this.
Yes, the client preparing for a speech contest. She realized that when the moment came, her mind just flipped on to her model. And she said, "I wasn't myself. I was actually you."
Wow. That's a profound description of identity transference. It's like a temporary suppression of the old pattern.
It confirms that by studying and practicing the model's successful style, their posture, their gestures, their rhythmic tone, the neural connections managing those activities in your brain begin to communicate and strengthen. You can instantly achieve a smoother, more confident output. And the consistent repetition of modeling eventually drives myelination and makes the new style automatic and inherently your own. You no longer need the mental image of the original model.
And the system is very strict that this modeling has to be applied universally, not just in practice.
Absolutely. Modeling must be done every time you speak, formal or informal. If you allow yourself to revert to the old, comfortable style for informal conversations, those safe zones, those old negative neural networks, receive reinforcement and they stay strong.
So instead, you tone down the new proactive style.
Exactly. You make it conversational, but you never turn the techniques off. This ensures you eventually develop a natural conversational flow using these superior speaking techniques.
So let's list those specific, learnable, proactive speaking skills that form the basis of the new style and are integrated through modeling. We should go into some depth on these since they're the core mechanics of the whole system.
Right. These are the seven elements that superior communicators use, broken down into systematic tools: airflow breathing, inflecting, using vocal variety, body language, extending stretching words, blending, connecting words, emphasizing vocal coloring, and articulating clarity.
Let's focus on the first step toward control. Slowing down, using what they call the ASS formula. Why is adjusting your pace such a major component?
The ASS formula stands for A, affirm I can take my time, S, speak super slow, and S, set your own pace. The source materials suggest that just successfully slowing down by itself can achieve up to 80% of the desired result in terms of immediate smoothness and clarity.
But the instruction to speak super slow must be temporary, right? I mean, people can't talk like that all the time.
Oh, it's entirely a temporary calibration measure. It's used to gain maximum awareness and conscious control. When you slow down that significantly, you become hyper aware of your physical speaking habits you previously missed.
Like excessive filler words or poor breathing or rushing through vowels.
All of it. It forces you to gain precise motor control over your speech pacing. And once that control is achieved, then you can move to setting your own pace, which is dynamic and varied, a mixture of faster and slower delivery that's appropriate to the content. It's about building awareness through temporary exaggeration.
Okay, so moving from controlling the pace to maintaining the flow, we get into airflow linking, which is achieved through blending and extending. This addresses the physical habit of start and stop speech.
Correct. The fundamental problem for many who struggle with blocks is the learned habit of speaking in a start and stop manner. Every time you stop the airflow, you create an opportunity to get stuck on the very next word. Airflow linking is designed to retrain the speaker for a continuous, smooth flow, rhythm, and sound, maintaining that critical airflow.
So define blending and extending for us and explain how they work together to create this continuous flow.
Okay, so extending is the stretching or prolonging of key vowel sounds or consonants within words. Think of drawing out the sound just slightly to maintain motor activity and airflow. And blending is the intermixing or connecting of words for a continuous, uninterrupted sound and rhythm. When you blend words, you eliminate those micro pauses between them that often lead to blocks.
So these two skills work together to ensure that the motor mechanism for speaking is continuously active.
Right. Not repeatedly starting and stopping, which is the physical action that causes the blocks.
And if a speaker still anticipates a block, what's the proactive technique they should use?
There are two critical techniques for airflow linking. The first is anticipatory linking. If you know a difficult word is coming up, you take a little extra air and you link or blend through it using the preceding words, maybe slightly extending the final sound of the word right before the trouble word.
Then the second?
The second is corrective action. If you're speaking and you unexpectedly get stuck mid-speech, the instruction is to pause, take extra air immediately, go back 1 to 3 words, and link or blend through that phrase again using your new style. This interrupts the block cycle and replaces it with a deliberate, controlled, smooth action and prevents that impulse to just push the word out forcibly.
These proactive skills are then applied to specific real-world situations, forcing the learner to create new, specialized speaking personas. Let's look at the telephone persona.
The telephone is often a massive trigger for anxiety because it removes all the visual cues and focuses entirely on sound, which just increases anticipation. So if you currently struggle with phone calls, your brain holds a very strong negative memory for that specific situation. To break this, you have to consciously create a new speaking identity just for the phone.
What are the specific techniques required for this phone persona?
Simple mechanics are key. Always use headphones or hands-free tech so you can use your hands for gestures. Gestures help anchor that new confident body language. Actively change your pitch and inflection, making it slightly more animated than your regular talk. And crucially, you use introductory words like yes, hello, this is, to bypass that old memory of getting stuck on the very first word of the call. You're establishing control through physical and verbal preparation.
And similarly, the reading persona addresses anxiety when reading aloud.
Right. Reading aloud is often highly triggering because the words are pre-written, which increases the pressure for perfection. The new persona requires going into a performance mode, focusing on the style elements, inflecting, emphasizing, articulating. The goal is to read dramatically and proactively, not robotically.
And then there's a key tactical tip for this.
Yes. You train yourself to scan ahead to grab the next few words visually. This allows you to look up at your audience while speaking those words, which maintains connection and flow rather than fixating on the individual words on the page, which breaks your rhythm.
Finally, the system offers specific strategies for presenting with confidence. This involves a focus model, VIC or RICK.
The core of the presentation strategy is shifting your focus outward. The model ensures your communication has value or relevance, impact or engagement, and clarity, both in your style and your structural organization. By focusing on serving the audience, on delivering value, your attention naturally shifts away from self-doubt and internal monitoring, like, am I speaking smoothly?
And to manage the inherent fear of presenting, there are some powerful confidence tactics.
The first is you must actively reframe the presentation as a conversation. This mentally reduces the performance pressure. It brings the audience down to your level and eases fears of severe judgment or rejection. Second, you are instructed to practice diminishing the importance of the audience or the event itself. By reducing the perceived stakes, telling yourself that in the grand scheme of things, this presentation is just one small event, you empower yourself by lessening the psychological weight.
That seems like a really effective psychological buffer. But what happens when that dreaded, unexpected, difficult question throws you off track?
That falls under the necessity of keeping your knowledge bank filled through constant learning, reading, listening. When a difficult question comes up, the system provides a specific, structured tactic to buy time and regain control. First, you pause and take a deep breath. Use that 777 control. Second, you immediately compliment the questioner. Wow, that's a great question.
That gives your brain crucial oxygen and thinking time.
Exactly. Third, see if you can access a partial answer. If you can only give a partial answer, start talking about that piece. The brain often begins to open up and allows you to access the rest of the information as you begin speaking smoothly. You're giving yourself space and time to access the knowledge without panicking. It's all about maintaining proactive control over your pace and your thought process, even when you're surprised.
So we've really navigated the entire scope of the PR90 speech system today.
We have. We've synthesized the core methodology, the foundational understanding of transforming a speaking identity through neuroplasticity and myelination.
The crucial necessity of total immersion and relentless daily practice through things like mini habits and using transitional time.
The psychological accountability and management needed via the T-RACK system to control your internal talk and accumulate successes.
And finally, the physical mastery of proactive speaking skills modeling, the ASS formula for slowing down, and that continuous flow you get from airflow linking, blending, and extending.
The ultimate takeaway here is that this methodology is built on the scientific premise that you cannot fix the old negative way you speak, because repeating that old pattern only strengthens it. Instead, you systematically create a new, better, and more dominant way.
And success isn't measured by, you know, the occasional fluent moment. It's achieved when that new speaking identity is fully accepted and the superior mechanics become totally automatic and effortless. The point of automatization.
The transformation from a struggling speaker to a confident one is built through consistent, systematic, intentional effort over time. It relies entirely on the predictable, trainable function of the brain to rewire itself.
And here's where it gets really interesting, and this is where we'll leave you to think. The ultimate success metric for this program is becoming an exceptional speaker, not just someone who is merely fluent. If the imperative is consistent immersion, meaning every single time you open your mouth, you are practicing and refining your new identity, the provocative thought we leave you with is this. What aspects of your current speaking life, however comfortable or informal, are you prepared to fully challenge and change, knowing that embracing that initial exhausting struggle is the necessary prerequisite for achieving the greatest, most confident success? We'll let you chew on that.